the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So, happy fast of the Virgin Mary, happy and blessed fast. Today the talk is supposed to touch on the prayer of supplication, and our reference for tonight's talk is going to be the prayers of Hannah. I'm going to do an introduction, and then I'm going to talk about the prayer of supplication, and then the end. So I would like you, when you go home today, to keep in mind three key words that I would like you to keep with you. The first one is the lost paradise, and this is going to be the introduction. The lost paradise. And the second word, the key word, is acts, okay? And the third word at the end should be the commonplace, the commonplace. I know it sounds a little bit odd, but try to keep this in mind. So what's the first key word? The lost paradise. Number two is acts. Number three is the commonplace. Okay. Actually, all our fasts and all our feasts that we keep repeating every year, they have one thing in common, and this is to constantly remind us and to redirect our focus in life towards heaven, right? So if you ask yourself, why are we repeating every year, why every year we have set dates for fasts and set dates for feasts, it's not just like to celebrate and to enjoy, but there is a deep meaning for all what we're doing. This is to redirect us. It's like when you're driving your car, and now we know there is something called lane departure, right? As soon as you go out of the lines, the lane, the car shakes or to remind you to go back in the lane. And the real aim of all what we are doing actually is not to lead only a successful life and raise family and have a fortune. Actually, the real aim for why we are here is to get ourselves out of the maze and go back to our lost paradise, to go back to the initial beautiful picture of what you and I used to look like when we were created in the image and the likeness of God. When we were all kicked out of paradise, we live in the world, and it's like someone put us in a maze. And for those of you who went and played and found themselves in a maze, there is a goal. You need to find a way out of this maze. So all what we're doing really is constant reminders and constant guide for us to find our way out of this maze and going back to the lost paradise. Going back to your original beautiful image in the likeness of God. And to do so, the church gives us tools, right? One of the most important tools is prayer, if not the most important one. The way I look at prayer, it's like not even like food and drinks for the body. We prove that the body can live for days without food and drinks. I have seen a miracle myself when I was practicing back in Manitoba. I've seen a lady, she almost like, you know, died, and then they put her in a room to die. And her family did not need anyone to give her anything, just to rest and to go in peace. So this lady stayed 12 days, believe it or not. We did not give her anything, nothing. And after 12 days, she woke up asking to eat, and she lived for another 2 years, to the amazement of everyone who could not believe that this lady came back to life. But the air, actually, the air, you cannot stay 12 minutes without air. You're going to suffocate and die, right? So the prayer is like the air. If we do not pray, we are spiritually dead. So prayer really is a very important tool to our spiritual life. If we are not praying, if you do not pray, there is something wrong and we need to wake up. The Word of God is another very important tool in our life, the Word of God. The way I look at the Word of God, it's like a GPS. A few days ago, I went to spend the long weekend in Boston, and that was the first time for me. And driving there was a challenge. And I can tell you that without the GPS, I would have never be able to navigate there. So the Word of God is like the GPS. But guess what? It's not only important to know how the GPS function. No, it's important to have a destination that you put on the GPS, right? Because if you only know how to make it work, that's good, but that's not enough. This GPS is there for a reason. It wants to take you from where you are to your destination. And this is the Word of God. The Word of God, that's why we keep coming and we listen to the Word of God. Because the Word of God keeps redirecting us to reach our destination. The moment you have a destination, this is when your spiritual journey begins. This is when you put your feet on the very first steps of the road. The problem happens when you don't have a destination. We come to church, we hear the Word of God, we hear nice sermons, nice chanting, and we go home. We did nothing with that because maybe the destination is not clear. It's not clear to me what do I want to do with that. All of us know about technology right now. It's like when you download a software. What comes next after downloading, we call it installing, right? So you have to download and then to install. If you don't install what you downloaded, that's okay. It's not going to work. It's like I give you a gift. You're happy with it. You go home, but you forgot to unwrap the gift and get it out of the box. You haven't used it, right? So we need to have a destination. And this destination is, I need to find God. At the end of the journey, I need to find God. I need to find rest in peace in God. And God finds rest and peace in me. Actually, all what God is waiting for is a truthful desire in our hearts to find him. We do not find God because we are smart. We do not find God because we read the Bible from cover to cover. Believe me, it's the grace of God that allow us to find him. You remember when Philip went to his friend Nathanael and he told him, we found the Christ, right? And then when Nathanael spoke with Jesus, he discovered that Jesus actually found him when he was under the fig tree before he found Jesus, right? So all what God is waiting for is a truthful desire in your heart to find him. At this very moment, at this very point, the grace of God starts to guide you. At this very moment, the skillful fingers of the potter starts to work on you and starts to change you and give you the new image. And guess what? When you work on this clay to change it and to give it a new shape, it's very painful. It's a very painful process. And this happens to all of us during our journey in our way to find, what's the key word for the introduction? The lost paradise. We are going to go through difficult times. These are the times where God's hands are working on you. God's hands are changing you. God's hands are breaking this thick layer that we call the ego, right? To set free the Spirit of God that lives within us. We will all, in our journey, during our journey, we're going to pass through probably phases where we find our prayers are not heard. They are not answered. Failures, difficult experiences in life, bad reputation. If you wait on the Lord, يا بختك, like honestly, you're very close to that door that's going to open and take you to the lost paradise. So that was the first introduction. And remember the key word, the lost paradise. Our presence on earth and all what we are doing serves one reason, is to go back to meet with the person of the Lord in the paradise, like Adam and Eve used to walk with God. So let's go to the main part of the talk, which is the prayer of supplication. As you've seen on the schedule, there are different types of prayers, and they have been scheduled on different days. Today we are talking about the prayer of supplication. And our reference is Hannah. Hannah, we all know the story of Hannah. She was married to a man called Elkanah. And Elkanah was married to two wives. One, the first one was called Peninnah, and the second one was Hannah. Peninnah had many children, and Hannah did not have any children. In a time where not having children was a shame. And in her case, we can say that the problem was in her husband, because he was married to another woman and he had many kids, many children with that woman. So imagine how this woman lived for years. So this family used to follow the rituals and the customs. They would travel from every year from where they used to live to a place called Shiloh to worship God and to sacrifice, present sacrifices. The Bible says, if you read her story in Samuel 1, first chapter, that she lived miserably. She was very miserable. And her husband would try to console her, and he would tell her, am I not enough for you? Nothing was enough to console her. She had a broken spirit. She had a miserable life. And God made her life even miserable. The Bible says that. And he allowed Peninnah, the second wife, to provoke her severely. So one time, Hannah decided just to go in the house of the Lord and to pray. So she kept weeping and crying. And Eli, the high priest, was sitting there, and he happened to listen to what she was saying. And then at one point, she stopped speaking. Only her lips were moving. And her heart poured this desire to God to open her womb. And she made a deal with God. She said, if you give me a son, I promise you I'm going to bring that son to you to serve you for the rest of his life. And the Bible says that even though Eli, the high priest, he mocked her because he thought she was drunk, she denied that and she told him, I didn't drink any wine and I'm not drunk. And the Bible says that she walked away happy. It's as if she got what she wanted. She got what she wanted before it even happened. And then God gave her Samuel. So she kept him with her for a couple years till she weaned him, and she fulfilled the promise to God and she brought him back. So actually, we took this as the reference for a prayer, a successful prayer of supplication. You remember the second key word that I want you to keep tonight was what? Acts, right? So remember, A stands for... Sorry. We are now in the second word, acts, okay? What I'm going to give you right now is a very helpful scheme when you stand up in prayer, because sometimes we stand in prayer, but we're lost. We're so distracted by so many things. So a very helpful tool that we're going to follow And we're going to follow, actually, in the prayer of Hannah that at the end, and other prayers that I'm going to show you. You can summarize it in the word Acts, A-C-T-S. Acts doesn't mean the Acts of the Apostles, no. It's just like a word that reminds us of four letters, A-C-T-S. A stands for adoration. When you stand in prayer, the very first thing that you do is adore God. C stands for, can anyone guess? Confession. And T stands for thankfulness, be thankful. And S stands for supplication, okay? So take this word and apply it, and it's going to be very helpful. A stands for adoration. C stands for confession. And T, thankfulness. And S, supplication. So when you start your spiritual journey, we start to pray, and our prayers are nothing wrong with even if it's a weak prayer. I'm going to give you an example. I was just like meditating on how we pray and how the saints pray. And I took the ACTS and I applied it to us and I applied it to them. And here's the difference. So when I stand, like, it's not difficult for me when I use the letter A, because we said that A is adoration. So it's the mental acknowledgement of a mighty God. Yes, we all grew up knowing that there is a mighty God, a creator. So that's easy for my brain to acknowledge. And then C, confession. I start to confess my sins to God. And yes, I did this and I did that. But guess what? Like, because we're weak still and we are the very first steps of our journey, when I remember my sins, I also remember maybe excuses, like, you know, I did this because, and I also bring the sins of other people who probably helped me sin, and I accuse other people. It's like Adam when he told God, oh, the woman that you gave me, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. And then T is thankfulness. I thank God. I thank God for all the positive things that he gave me in my life, and he blessed me with all these things. So that's natural to do this. And then the last thing, supplication, I ask for my family, for my friends, for the servants, for the priests. That's normal to do. But as we proceed further in our spiritual journey and we become stronger in faith, guess what? Like, this A, like, if you go to a saint, the saints, when they pray, they have this moment where their soul is completely lost in, like, the greatness of God. Not just like a mental submission that there is a creator. No. They all of a sudden, just like, you know, their soul is lost in, they stand in awe in front of this infinite God. And because they cannot grasp this infinity, actually the only thing that they could grasp is how finite I am. And how tiny I am, and how empty I am, and how broken I am. So at this moment, what we bring to God is not just like my sin, I lied, and I did this, and I shatemt, and I did that. No, it's like I present myself as a finite, tiny person in front of this infinite God, and I tell him, I am empty, I am nothing. This is what qualifies people to become saints. This inner feeling of, I am nothing. They don't feel that they have any value. While other people are pointing fingers at them and just like say how blessed these people are and how high up in their spirituality they are, they feel they are nothing. They feel they are broken. They feel they are empty. This is the C now. It's not really for confession anymore. It's for a contrite heart. You know the word contrite? It's what we say in Arabic, al-alb al-munsahak. This is what we call contrite, al-insahak. And then the thankfulness here, if we move on, these people not only thank God for the negative, the positive thing, they even proceed to thank God for the negative thing. All the difficult experiences that God used to shape them, to give them the new look, the picture of what God created in paradise. And at the end, the supplication, what did Hannah do? When that's why her prayer was successful. She asked for something for the glory of God. I'm not anymore asking for riches or material riches. I'm asking anything I ask for, it's for the glory of God. So if we want now to give a definition of a successful prayer of supplication, this is the definition. I'm going to give you the recipe of a successful, 100% successful prayer of supplication. It's not just a random request. It's a humble request coming from a contrite heart, enforced by an unshakable faith and aligning with the will of God. Four things to fulfill a successful prayer of supplication. Remember this. It's a humble request, coming from a contrite heart, albu munsahak, backed up by unshakable faith, and number four, aligning with the will of God. So the last part, because I'm supposed to finish in 5 minutes, actually I can't just like keep talking about Hannah and not mentioning St. Mary. Well, let me tell you that maybe God worked on the life of Hannah for years and gave her this miserable life, and then he opened her womb and gave her blessings. We didn't hear that these things happened with Mary, because simply Mary's heart was ready. She was ready. And that's why she deserved to be called not the mother of Moses or the mother of Samuel. She deserved to be called the mother of God. The last part that I'm going to mention is the common place or the common experience, right? You're going to find, if you read the prayers of all the saints, of all the people who made it, still on earth, they have a common experience. They reached a common place, and they have a common experience. And I'm going to prove it to you right now. I'm going to show you. They express their feelings with different words, but it all means the same. So I'm going to put before your eyes the prayer of Hannah after God has given her Samuel. And I'm going to give you a psalm I was reading this morning for David. And just like, I just found that it is aligning with what I was reading on Hannah. And then we are going to finish with the song, the praise of St. Mary. So we're not going to read the whole prayer because of the time, but this is the prayer of Hannah in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. Look at what I highlighted in yellow. My heart rejoices in the Lord. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like your God. This is what, you remember the word adoration when you start your prayer? You start by adoring God. And then the green part, talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge. So you remember when we said the contrite heart? She started to feel how great God is and how lowly I am. And the hungry have ceased to hunger, even the barren has borne 7. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. Here is, and we continue. This is thankfulness. She's thanking God for all the blessing he brought to his people and to the lowly one and to the poor. And then she finishes with, he will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Why, Hannah, are you mentioning this right now? Because in her supplication, in her prayers, she must have been praying for the king. She must have been praying for her people. Let's go to David. I was reading this morning. So he starts with the same thing. First one is adoration. Praise the Lord, O the servant. Praise the name of the Lord. The Lord is high above all the nations. Upon the heavens is his glory. Adoration. And then, see, as soon as he goes that high and he opens up to the greatness of God, he discovers how small and how tiny and how lowly he is. So his tongue continues and he says, who is like the Lord our God upon the low things in heaven and on the earth? He remember. And then the same thing, who lifts up a poor person from the earth, raises up a needy person from the ash heap to seat him with the princes. Same words, same experiences. Let's finish with the beautiful praise of Saint Mary. Again, as you see, I have put the ACTS. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. And then, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, all generation will call me blessed. And then Mary, in her humility, she knew that all generations, even to this day, tonight, were talking about her. And she says, not because I deserve it, it's because the mighty has done great things to me. His mercy is on those who fear him. And then she thanks God, the same thing, same experience. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud. He exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry. And at the end, the same thing. He has helped his servant Israel. So this is what I mean by a common place and a common experience. When we all arrive there, we have the same experience of God. And we express this with probably different words, but it's the same. As you saw, I put Mary, I put David, I put Hannah, and it's the same. The last thing I'm going to say is this. Imagine there is a train, and this train, we are sitting at a train station, and the train comes, right? And the train is full of people. Let's imagine, just for the sake of the analogy, that the people who are in the train are the saints, and you are sitting there. And then when the train stops, we don't go in. Just like we keep looking, oh, look, this is St. Mary. Oh, this is Hannah. Oh, this is St. Moses. And we hear about their stories. And guess what? After a certain time, very short time, the train is going to leave. So imagine yourself. You just like keep repeating the story of the saints and the knowledge of what happened with them, but you did not jump in the train. So, don't allow this to happen to yourself, and I'm saying the same thing to myself. It's not enough to have the knowledge. We need to jump in this train. Like, the people who are in the train, the saints, they are happy that probably we are praising them, knowing their stories. But if you give the microphone to one of them and listen, guess what are they saying? What do you think they are saying to us? Yes, come, jump, come in, come. So don't allow life to pass by. And all what we have done is sitting at the station looking at the train coming, and we know the story and we hear the stories, and that's it. So three keywords today. The first one was the lost paradise. The second one was Acts. And the third one was the common place with a common experience. And glory be to God forever. Amen.
Amen. Alleluia. Doxa Patrick. اسمو بي خريستوس بنوتي ورن دتيري نونان تكرين سمنان تكرين كانو ونن فولي توك تيتي غون بي ونن بي اسمون بي اماه شايني امين ميكا سوار دي تو براي تو يو ثانك فري اور فادر وارت ان هيفن هارود بي دوي نيم kingdom come thou will be done on earth as in heaven but this passes as it is those this passes والآن محبة الله لا يبدأ بالكل ونعمة ابن الوحيد ربنا ولا يخلصه المسيح شركة موهبة عطية روح قدس تكون معكم يقتدون فيكم امضوا بالسلام سلام الرب يكون معكم. Tomorrow God willing there is no liturgy in the morning, however we have our revival at 7 p.m. not 7:30 as usual. We have our Ashiya, our Vespers 7 p.m. because we have يعني midnight prayer and midnight praise after that. Tomorrow Dr. Muhib Mor'os will speak to us God willing. امضوا بالسلام سلام ربي يكون معكم كل سلام طيبين.